Blog Talk Radio.
To you, and I hope that you will take it to heart, because when I heard it as a young woman, I've kept it, and it has always been good to me. It is Proverbs 3, starting at verse 5 and ending in verse 6 or 7. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him." The him is God, or Jesus. "And he shall direct your paths." That's right. Don't leave him alone. I'm going to have a word of prayer right now. And every day that I wake up, I am thankful. Let's pray. Father in heaven, our Father in heaven, thank you so much for all the things that you do for us sheep. Keeping us alive while we were sleeping. And just thank you for everything that you've done, for even leaving the Bible for us. Because without it, we would not know that we would be doing sins like our government says we can do sins. For instance, our government says you can murder your baby, or that is, you can have abortion. That's wrong. You cannot listen to our government. There are a lot of rules they have made, and they were wrong. They, in my mind, making the type of decisions that have been made against you and your words that are in the Bible, God, they were wrong. They were trying to lead us to hell. I'm thinking that they are Satan. Father, thank you for leaving us the Bible. Thank you. Thank you for opening, for not opening up your arsenal of natural and chemical disasters. Please, thank you so much. There, your protection of us here in the Detroit area is wonderful. We have no complaints. And if you did send rains and what have you, whatever disasters or that you send, we will have to adjust to it and we'll have to roll with it. But I thank you for giving me a new vehicle. I would have to have gasoline. I would try to get away. But I thank you for all that you do for us, sheep. I thank you for giving us our right mind, prosperity in everything that we do, and good health. And I thank you in your son's name, in Yeshua's name, better known as Jesus. Thank you. Let me say, there are a few things that I want the ships to know. And I want to first say hello to my cousin, Autumn Ray, in Indiana. You, three weeks ago, you called me to see if I'm doing all right. And I am doing all right. But Larry called me this week, and he wanted to know what's the real deal with me. I told him I'm sick. And whatever God does for me, it's okay. I want to try and read as much of the Bible or all of it before Jesus comes. Before he comes, I would like to read it all. But in the case he doesn't, come, or I don't read it all before he comes, let me say, I'm going to be like I've heard some preachers say, well, Father, I did this and I did that. I'm going to try to get into heaven by explaining my way of what the things that I have done. And I know that we must do some work in order to be saved. And I'm trying to be saved. Listen, on the computer, I have that the epistle that Paul sent I would be reading for this week. But I'm going to read Romans 2. Last week, I read Romans chapter 1. I'm going to read Romans chapter 2. And as much of it, the book of Romans, that I can. I hope I can get to and finish reading chapter 3, because it's very important to me that I do what my father told me to do, and that is feed his sheep. And it took me many years. He told me this probably in the early 80s, and I wouldn't do it because I was scared. Get in your faces or how you might criticize me. But you, if you will, if you're going to criticize me, go ahead. Criticize me. I know I have a job to do that God told me to do. And I am so thankful that I found a way to get the job done. And that is to read his stories to you. And I'm glad that he made a way by establishing Blog Talk Radio. Now let me start reading and read as much as I can. And then I want to tell you some other things. I'll give you maybe scriptures that I want to tell you. This is the Feed My Sheep Show. I am Sandra Harris, your host. Happy Sabbath day, everyone. And it's Sabbath day because it's Sabbath starts in the evening and ends on Saturday evening, called Sabbath evening. This is Sabbath evening, or the first of the Sabbath day. And I want you to remember that our Father in heaven told us in the Bible to remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. You'll find it in Exodus 20, verse 8. Read it for yourself. I read from the King James Version of the Bible. And remember, I said virgin. I don't know. The virgin means that, to me, he has had to copy it from something else. So I know that my granddad, and I used to call him Papa, he had another different Bible. The Bible that I have now is not like what he had. He had some, I forget what you call it, can't remember. But anyway, I read from the King James Version of the Bible. Always have your three P's. They are your pen, pencil, and paper, in case you want to jot down some references or some scriptures that I may tell you to read today. And I do want to tell you to read. Do you know what God's annual festival days are? Well, starting, I think, next week or this week, it's one of his days. And see, we just had a man-made holiday, but let's go over the holidays that Jesus has for us. There are seven of them. First is Passover, and that's where you placing blood around the door post of the Israelites' houses when they were in Egypt. And you'll find that in Leviticus chapter 23, verse 5, followed by the Feast of Unleavened Bread. That's the next holiday. And the Feast of Unleavened Bread follows directly after Passover. And you know, unleavened bread, that's putting yeast in your bread. And then the next is Pentecost. The day of Pentecost, that's where we observe, it's the smaller of the two feasts that we are to have. And it's 50 days from the previous Feast of the Lord, following the Feast of Trumpets, and that's where you have what is called a shofar. It's like you having a ram's horn. It's like blowing of a trumpet. The next is the Feast of Atonement, and you'll find that in Leviticus 23, chapter 23, verse 6. All of his feasts, all of God's feasts are in Leviticus. And that's what you can find them in someplace else, but that's where I have gone to find Leviticus, the Feast of God. And you're so busy, in my view, many of you are so busy celebrating the days that are not his days. We just had one. I don't know what it was. Let me see. The next, sixth feast is the Feast of Tabernacles. That is in October. You'll find that it's, well, in Leviticus. And then the last one is it's called the Great Day, and it's next to the Feast of Tabernacles, and this is the eighth day. considered a separate type beast. That's as much as I know about it. And I want you to go to the book of Leviticus so you can read what chapter 23. Leviticus, in case you don't know it, is spelled L-E-V-I-T-I-C-U-S. Leviticus. That's in the Old Testament. Okay? That's just a few of my announcements. Well, here's another one. I want you to remember this. Where do your bodies go after you die, after you pass? I want you to go to Ecclesiastes. That's spelled E-C-C-L-E-S-I-A-S-T-E-S. What happens is, it tells you that your body shall return to the earth, to the dust, and your spirit will go to God who gave it. That's what you will learn in Leviticus 12, verse 7. Again, in Leviticus, another thing that I want you to remember, it says, remember the Creator in the days of your youth. That, and I learned that as a child. I think that I could have been worse off, but I was not, because I followed Leviticus, I think it's chapter 11. I eat all of the foods that our fathers say that we can eat, and I eat much more. I'm a greedy little woman. Also, I want you to read this story in 1 Kings, where there are two women living together. They are sharing their homes. They both had, they lived together, and they both had children around the same time. And one of them, her baby was smothered to death, you know, like her baby died. And the other, she switched her baby with the living baby, the other woman's baby. And King Solomon says, you know what he did? I think that you should read that story. It's in 1 Kings, verses, chapter 3, verses 16 through 28, or 16 to 12. I can't even read my own writing. Read that story. Solomon said that what he was going to do with the child was cut that child in half. But the mother of the baby hollered, "No, don't cut him in half. I want, you know, let him live." She rather that her baby live than to be cut in half. You read that story. I found that story to be very interesting. Just like chapter 1 of Romans last week, and when I read it, I was shocked. I was shocked where he's talking about where they had lost their moral standards. Men wanted men. They had gone against the nature of women, and whatever they wanted men, and he was telling them that it is not right. It's ungodly. Now, those people in the United States must have not read this in the Bible, because they passed the same-sex law. They say you can get married. And that's why our Supreme Court, when God comes back, he's got to deal with that, I think. We can't have that. You know, when in Rome, do what the Romans do. That's what I've read. But we can't all the time do what the Romans do if we want to save our souls. So let me read chapter 2 of Romans, and hopefully I will continue reading until I get tired or start coughing or some other crazy thing that happens to me every time I try. When I usually most times or many times when I try to read the word to you, sheep, sometimes maybe you haven't heard what I will read to you. And that's why I'm not going to read Romans 1 because I read it before. And let's go to Romans chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou committest thyself. Thou that judgest doest the same thing. Wow, I'm beginning to think that this chapter 2 is going to be a hot one, just like chapter 1 was. And I had gotten mad with Paul because he had written a letter to Timothy saying that I would, that you tell the woman to be quiet in the church. I said, God didn't tell the woman to be quiet. That's you, Timothy. I mean, that's you, Paul. You saying I would to him. And it's not what God would. God would have not told me to feed my sheep in a dream. He sure did. He told, I had, in Numbers 12 and 6, I had a dream. And, you know, it says, I make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. That's what the book of Numbers 12 and 6 says. So, he tells women to do things. And women, you want to be obedient, don't you? I know I do. I want to go to heaven because the white man is giving me so much hell down here. Till I want to go to heaven. And he says that he even lied on God. He says that God had, Jesus has straight hair. In Romans, in Revelation chapter 1, verse 14, it describes God as having hair as wool. And I have hair as wool. And then he said that he had feet of brass. And the feet of brass, that brass is brown like me. You can say that my feet are brass, because they are brown. But let me get on with today's lesson. Verse number 2. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to the truth against them which commit such things. And think you this, O man, that judges them which do much things, that does the same thing, that thou shall escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth you to repentance? And repentance means to stop doing what your sin is. You stop that mess. If you're doing something wrong, you know it. You have an inward feeling. You know that you may be doing wrong. For instance, God says, thou shalt not steal. That's one of the 10 commandments. He says you should not commit a murder. That's one of the commandments. And then if you get pregnant or something and you go to an abortion place, if you want to get rid of the baby, if that baby lives, then maybe God won't accuse you of killing your baby. He'll maybe accuse the doctor of killing your child if he kills them. Let's see, read on. I've written in my Bible so much that I can't hardly understand what is here. I'm going to go to verse 3. And thinking thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doeth the same thing, and thou shalt escape the judgment of God, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long suffering, not to leadeth thee to repentance. And that's what I'm saying. Stop doing what you're doing if it's a bad thing. Verse 5. But after thy hardness and impenitent, and that means no shame of heart, treasured up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath. And the day, to me, that's the day of judgment and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Verse number 6. Who will render to every man according to his deeds? Oh, so that's what his deeds, that's what I'm doing. God told me to feed his sheep, and I'm trying to feed you all. I'm talking a lot. I hope you're understanding and listening. It say, to them who, being patient, continue in well-doing, seek for the glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are conscientious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteous indignation and wrath. And wrath is the fury of God or the anger of God. Verse 9, tribulation and anguish upon them, upon every soul of man that doeth evil, and the Jews first, and also of the Gentiles, but glory and honor and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jews first, and also to the Gentiles. For there is no respecter of persons with God. Verse 12. For as many as have sinned without the law shall be punished without the law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. Verse 13. For not the heaven, for not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. And when they're saying justified, Jesus justified us through the shedding of his blood. You know how the Romans murdered him? And that's who I'm trying to figure out. Who are the white people? Are they the children of Satan? I think so. I begin to think so, because they give you so much hell down here on earth. Excuse me, I'm having the burp. Verse 14. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are the law unto themselves, which show the works of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the means while accustomed or else excusing one another. Now, I need to read verse 15 again. I have 15 minutes to read. I want to read as much as I can. But I'll read that again, because to me, I didn't read that well. Verse 15 says, which show the works of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the means while accusing or else, I'm reading it wrong again, Satan, get under my feet. I'm going to read verse 15 again, which show the works of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the means while accusing or else excusing one another. In the day of when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Behold, you must, now it says, behold, thou art called a Jew and restest in the law and maketh thy boast of God. Verse 18, and knowest his will and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that you yourself are a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which has the form of knowledge and of the truth of the law. Where did I leave off? Okay. I left off. Verse 21 says, reads, you therefore which teaches another, teaches you not yourself, that you that preaches a man should not steal, do you steal? You that saith a man should not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You that hate idols, do you commit let me read that again. You that saith a man should not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You that hate abhor idols, that abhorred, that means hate or disgusting idols, do you commit sacrilege? And that is do you rob the temples? That's what sacrilege is. You hate idols, but do you commit sacrilege? Verse 23, you that makest thou boast of the law through bearing the law, dishonest you God, for the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written, for the circumcision verily profits if you keepeth the law, but if you be a breaker of the law, your circumcision is made uncircumcised. Therefore, if the uncircumcised keep the righteous, just Let me read verse 26 again. Therefore, if the uncircumcised keep the righteousness of the law, shall not this uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not uncircumcised, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge you who by the law, the letter of circumcision, do transgress the law? And for he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Let me see. My computer got me off guard. It says, I'll read verse 28 again. For he is not a Jew, which is not outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outwardly in the flesh. But he is a Jew. Oh, this thing is doing what it did last week. I did not take this computer to the shop like I had said I was going to, and it is acting up. Oh, God. Let me be with me, God. Let me read verse 29, and I will be finished with this chapter, chapter 2. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, the spirit, and not in the letter. Who praised is not of men, but of God. Oh, see, I want you to read this chapter yourself. Now, I will start reading chapter 3. It says, what advantage then has a Jew? Or what profit is there of the circumcision? Well, I don't know. Let's find out. It says, much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. And so that means like the rules of God, the oracles. And I know that I was taught his 10 commandments, and I have read them to you, sheep, also. Verse 3, for what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effort? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. As it is written, that you mightest be justified in your sayings, and mightest overcome when you are judged. But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man. Verse 6, God forbid, for when shall God judge the works? I think I should read verse 6 again. It says, For God forbid. And I'm going to leave off right here, and I'm going to pick up at verse 7. Let me just read verse 6 again. God forbid, for when, how shall God judge the world? So we will pick up verse 3 at verse 7. next week, if God will allow it. Let me have a closing prayer to you, sheep. Let me say this. That's ending prayer to our Father. Father, thank you so much for taking care of us, for protecting us while we are sleeping and watching over us in our sleep. Thank you. You are the best. I am so glad you provided. You called me out of the world. I don't know why. And I'm trying to feed your sheep. I want to do a good job. I want to read better to the sheep. I thank you for calling me out of the world. I can't do everything that the world do. Bless my sisters who are in Vegas. And I wish I had a bond with them, but I didn't have money. I would have had to save this program at another date. Also, Steve, I want you to go to Amazon and purchase my book.
Help your children.
They are e-books.
And don't let them fall.
I know you're not going to do it because you want to help me. I have one caller.
Of the road.
I do not answer callers. My program.
He won't let you down.
No, Jesus just loves
me. I know.